today, in our English segment, we are featuring Luxembagels with Henry Weinrich Ross. Did I pronounce it correctly?
That's a mouthful. You've done very well.
Ross. Henry, just a short introduction to our listeners. You are Australia's go-to lifestyle and fashion authority, media personality, fashion designer. In recent times, we have seen him appearing in various TV shows like Project Runaway, Beauty and the Geek, Australia's Biggest Loser, The Red Carpet from Hollywood. Oh, I'm sure the list is really long.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, also, you've been featured over the years on some of the highest rating shows in the world. Some of them are Oprah, Good Morning America, Entertainment Tonight,
yes.
ESPN Makeover, CNN Fashion Prediction Report, Fashion Police with John Rivers.
Yeah,
wow.
She's unbelievable. I was saying to you before the break, and you were like schwitzing because I was writing notes.
Amazing.
I wrote it in 60 minutes, 60 seconds.
Wow.
I admit, it's okay. Joan Rivers, in between the advertisements, used to rewrite the script. So this I gave you 3 minutes. It's not bad.
I've seen you now rewriting your script.
Absolutely.
So you know what you think. Henry, after 20 years away from your hometown of Sydney, that's 5 years in London and New York for 15 years, finally you're back to Australia. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, when did you come back?
Look, I came back about 2.5 years ago. It's a long time being away from home, and I thought of myself as a packet of frozen bird's eye peas that were de-thawing. And I landed in my home city of Sydney, and I think the issue is, and I think a lot of people that travel will understand, when you arrive back to where you were born and it's completely different, you actually feel foreign in the city you were born. So my experience with Project Runway is connected with Melbourne, and I fell in love with the city, and I fell in love with the passion, the beauty, the sensitivity, the humanity. And I call it home now. And actually, I'm very glad that we had this little meeting, because I just had to walk down the road. I live in the city here, and here we are, and I'm very pleased to be here
in
this
Melbourne.
Morning. Yeah,
Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, I could have taken the free tram, but I actually walked.
Okay. Well, you're used to the big city, because you lived in New York for 15 years.
Yes.
After the hustle and bustle of New York, suddenly Melbourne is pretty quiet for you, isn't it?
You know, Amit, you are what you are, and you make of what you have what you have. You can have in your mind whatever you want. You can have the biggest city in the world and the smallest mindset in the world. So it's really the geography of an attitude is the geography of a mindset. And the one interesting thing that's hit me now being back in Melbourne is people's surprise of my passion for Israel, our right to exist, our traditions, our pride, being proactive. And actually, I've always been like that. And that approach has been whatever I've done on television. It's about self-affirmation. So the fact is, you know, questions of, am I possibly a good advocate? We are going to ask ourselves today, what is a good advocate? What can we do? And how are we good citizenships in a global community? So I'm proud to say I'm out and proud of being Jewish. I think the times of us cowering and being ashamed and questioning ourselves is over.
Henry, I would like to talk about a few things you're working on nowadays with association with the Jewish community in Australia.
Yep.
Tell us more about some of the projects that I heard you mentioning, for example, the Shabbat project.
Yes. Look, I want to start overall by saying this. As human beings, we think of ourselves in the context of times of over 7 billion other of us. And you think about, how do I make a difference? Do I make a difference? Why am I on this earth? That's number one. Number two, we look at situations and we think, really, Amit, what's the point? You know, one little person. I'm going to draw an example of an extraordinary young lady, Jewish, in New York, called Wendy Diamond. And this woman is a diamond. And one day she called me up 3 years ago. She said, you know what? I'm fed up. I can't stand it. Everyone's such, you know, schleppers, the schmecks. I'm over it. I said, Wendy Diamond, what's the problem? What's the problem? Everybody's the problem. I've decided I'm going to walk into the United Nations, because we have to have chutzpah, and I'm going to sit down with the people I have to talk to, and maybe they want to talk to me, I'm going to talk to them, I'm going to bring my dog with me, and I'm going to tell them we must have a Women's Entrepreneurship Day. 3 years later, there's tears in my eyes, because there she is, in front of the whole of the United Nations. Actually, I'm getting a tear now.
Oh.
She's extraordinary. And it shows you that if you have the will, and you have the belief, that's what it takes. And what I did, I connected Wendy with two women here in Melbourne to do the Australian arm on the Women's Entrepreneurship Day. Mm-hmm. Their names are Sasha and Sonia. So my point number one, Yes, it's questions about what projects am I doing. The number one thing is to understand that we are citizens of the world. Each and every one of us is uniquely different. That's my business, personal branding. And as Jewish people, we have a responsibility.
Yes.
The question is now out in the world. What right do we have to exist? What right do we have to have Israel? And actually, what right do we have to be on this planet at all? Now, instead of getting our backs up and being insulted, how dare you ask us, how dare you? It's such a chutzpah to even question. That is just yesterday's attitude. The attitude today has to be, if the world is questioning about us, we have to answer. And we're not answering loud enough in a cohesive manner. The reason is because Israel, since 1948, has been under siege by wars. And the way people can cope with it in Israel, and they're amazing, amazing people, one must never criticize Israel outside of Israel. You go to Israel, then you can be a president there. But the number one thing is, they do not allow what's happening in Israel to interrupt their lives in a second. The downside of that is, we don't have the infrastructure that the Palestinians do to get our message out, because we think, well, we don't need to speak about it. That's a problem.
Henry, how can we build our own Iron Dome in our backyard?
Okay.
Please.
So a few things that I think we could do practically, on a practical level, is number one, understand inactivity will create the same place you started. So there are things we can do. I'm just highlighting some of the things that as one human being can do on this planet, here and now, as a Jewish person and as a person of the globe, okay? Now look, I brought here today, number one, the Eshkal wafer biscuits.
I wish the listeners could see.
Right?
It's beautiful waffles.
So, they are from Israel.
Lemon flavor from Israel, of course, from Israel, yes. And where did you get them?
Okay, here's the point.
Here?
Yeah, I've got them in Coles. This is what I do. I go to Coles and I buy 30 at a time. So number one, the people at Coles are going berserk in the city because there's somebody that they're running out of the Israeli product. Number two, if there's a movement that wants to strangle the Jewish people in Israel economically, so what? We just sit there? What's going on? Is anybody awake out there? The point is this. Grab 20 of these biscuits, and let me tell you something. During the day, day to day, you have meetings, you have people you have to meet. So you know what I do now? I say to people when I have my meeting, you have the coffee, I'll bring something special. And what I did the other day, there was in front of 20 people in a law firm, I pipe up, ladies and gentlemen, I have the most amazing thing for morning tea. It comes from the land of milk and honey, and they're Israeli-made biscuits, ducked up in your throat. They're amazingly sweet. Now, the point is this. Who does it? It's time we started not being ashamed, being proud. So bottom line.
I agree with you 100%, and I am one of these persons who will go to a supermarket and buy only Israeli products.
Right.
And this is how we fight BDS.
Okay, so that's one thing we can do. Number two, there's some amazing things that have been created with international impact. I'm very proud to say an extraordinary young lady by the name of Melissa Don is now the director of the New South Wales Division of the Shabbat Project. Now, this is an amazing thing. Now, this is a thing that a person can be involved with.
Yeah.
If you want to reconnect with your roots as being Jewish, I am not advocating anything. I'm just saying here's an option. But what I loved was the visual. When you see around the world, on one day, there's a Shabbat that is being Shomer Shabbat. It's unbelievable. And so what they've done is they've actually appointed Melissa, and she's taking it to the next level. So they're looking for sponsorship, and they're looking for all sorts of things. It's the Shabbat Project, sydney.com.au. I think I've got that right. At the end of this, any questions, people can direct personally to me. I will be issuing my phone number, and I'll be issuing my email number, so you'll know. So with the Shabbat Project, and any of the things I'm talking about, with the Shabbat Project, it's around the world. There's no reason you can't be involved. It has an insight into how to keep Shabbat. So what if you don't do it every week? But if you don't get involved in something, it makes for a very weak Jewish community. That's one of the things.
Can I ask you if you keep Shabbat?
You know what? I don't. I mean, the thing is, I'm not that. It's a very good question. It's a hard-hitting one. I keep the pride of being Jewish. And in my way, I do my bit, I believe, to put into the community, because I am in journalism and I am in the TV highlights there.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm Jewish, people know it immediately. The fact that I believe in human tolerance, they know it immediately. The fact that I don't shomer Shabbat, they know that as well. But I will involve myself at times with events to support. And by the way, what's so bad with gefilte fish on a Friday night?
I love it. It's great, isn't it?
Yes.
We love gefilte fish.
Exactly.
Sure. Let's talk about the baking challah project, which is also one of your highlights.
The baking challah. So one time I was invited to this very, very dynamic lady by the name of Justine Turan. And I'm telling you, if they just sent Justine over to Israel with half the women in Caulfield, those women would make order in Israel in 2 minutes. I'm telling you. Formidable, okay? Don't make muck with them. When you pass the border in Caulfield, be prepared to surrender, okay? So I met my match. This woman is amazing. But anyway, one day I was at her, she invited me to her Shabbat, and she has a whole ritual. The Shabbat for her is an extension of her person and her passion. She's an artist, an incredible woman, very, very strong. I think she was the president of the Parents and Friends Association in Mount Scopus for 5 years and came out alive. She came out alive. So I'm like, so we were sitting, we were having one of her signature dishes, and I said, you know what? This is just before, just during the time of the Charlie thing in Paris. I said, this Shabbat thing needs to go global. Sure enough, the Charlie thing happened. We called each other up, and we created Breaking Color. So what we did when we did Breaking Color is I wanted to help her, give her support. I was at the time a co-founder. We started with 18 tables. The idea is that you invite people who are your friends, who aren't Jewish, who haven't been to a Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want to create a better understanding of each other. It's about tolerance. And I better say this very clearly. It is not the Shabbat project. The Shabbat project is more about Jewish people and identifying to the strength of Shabbat. This is about reaching out in a different way. It is not affiliated with anything, and it's clever. She doesn't affiliate with any organization except the affiliation of Breaking Color. And I'm telling you, it's going to expand. How do you get involved?
Exactly.
Breaking Color. I can see.
My next question.
We work together with Miss Hendrik Greener. So it's actually breakingcolor.com. So that's another one. You get all the details there. Now, there's another thing that I'm very strongly, and I'm going to push them until I find my little home. And that is, I don't think people generally in the community have got a real good grip on what are the top 10 reasons why Israel has the right to exist. What is the answer when people say we bomb babies, that we are the equivalent to Nazism, that we created ISIS? I mean, these are statements that are like serious stuff, where they're now discussing the big benefit, actually, the concession to America from Iran, they may obliterate from their missiles death to the Jews. Oh, how nice. While in the same time, the same breath, they're having gallery competitions about the hoax of the Holocaust. Okay, guess what, guys? That's aiming at us. So what we have to do is we have to equip ourselves not to be like everybody else. Jewish people elevate. We don't go down. I've got many people who are not Jewish, and I love all my friends. And we elevate. So when they have the diatribe, and may I say, it's the filth. If you go onto Facebook, it will shock you if you haven't been on. Actually, some of the stuff is on there. Shock you. It's much worse than any imagery from Nazism. And the point is this. We have to have knowledge about what the top 10 reasons are for Israel to exist, that we are not occupiers, that we are actually the only democracy in the Middle East. It goes on and on and on. So the bottom line is this, we have to have seminars where people sit down and reacquaint themselves in a commercially media savvy way what the top 10 reasons are for our existence, and then we need to open it up. Yes, we haven't been in this territory, it's different too. How to respond in a social media way.
Henry,
and I'm finding a home.
What do you do to make all these things work?
Okay, so simple. So we spoke about
the Shabbat project, the baking challah project.
Yep.
These are some of your
This is happening currently. This is not in my imagination where I go to sleep and dream. All these things are happening. I just can't believe it. It's my father calling from Sydney, like, hold on.
You have to turn your phone.
Yeah, hold on. I haven't got time to turn my phone on if I'm talking to you.
You're too busy.
No. What I want to say is this. This is currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
The Shabbat project, you can be involved. Breaking challah, you can be involved. Going to Coles to buy biscuits that are made in Israel that you give to meetings is happening. The thing about the social media is a good question. I spoke to an amazing man today, because you saw my post, from the Chabad house here in Melbourne. I've had some amazing dealings with the UIA, and we're seeing whether what I want to try and do, which I'm determined, it has to happen, it has to have a home, whether it's for them, and if it's not for them, I want to continue to find out one group in Melbourne that understand, or it's right for them and their marketing, that we have to have social media workshops to discuss how to respond. So I had a ray of hope. God shone down from our beautiful, cloudy, cold skies today. And a fantastic man from the Chabad people here in the city called me. And basically, after this, we're going to talk. And I want to do a pilot, one pilot of a seminar on how to be proud, Jewish, and interactive in a hostile world.
Henry, we have 2 minutes to go.
Uh-oh.
I know, time flies when we enjoy. In 2 minutes, Henry, I would like you to let us know, how can we contact you? Because
Fine.
All these things you said are just wonderful.
Right.
If I want to get involved in all these projects, mm-hmm. and just to get in touch with you. Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm happy to be available. You can call me on my phone number, which I am so happy to give out.
No, I don't think you should give a number.
0402-33... What am I scared of? 0402...
Everybody's going to call you.
Good. 0402-33-9977. That's my direct phone number.
It's a very good number.
It's a good one. My mother got it for me. It's a really good one.
Hmm.
Or you can email me, which is henry@henryroth.com. The most important thing to say to you is this. It's not pie in the sky what I've just been talking about. And if there's any impression that what I've been speaking about is... not real, then I have to tell you, it's current. The only project that I haven't put under fire is actually the project on the social media things. And that will happen. And I want to leave you with one thought as I get the time out. My friend, Ilana Den, is the new director of Australia-wide for the Hebrew University. She has arrived in Israel 3 days ago. And that's really where I want to get the litmus test of where we are and what the situation in Israel is like. And I asked, what's your message? And her message is this. Israel is here to stay. People are optimistic as they ever were, and we will not give in to fear. This high-tech industry is booming, and the startup nation is alive and well. And my added message is, get involved. Be active, because not being active has no future.
Henry Roth, I would like to thank you, and thanks for coming to the studio. It's good to have you back here in Melbourne, and good to see people like you here.
Hey, did you survive
so many things for the Jewish community.
Did you survive it on this?
We need 3 hours to discuss.
Did you survive? Did you lose 2 kilos in this interview?
I think I did.
Let me tell you something. Let me thank you for the opportunity. I'm thrilled to see you in front of me in one of the most gorgeous buildings here in Federation Square. Your professionalism, your knowledge is amazing. And I'm proud to be working with you.
Really, thank you, brother.
There you go, brother. He's going red, everybody.
I am really rushing
have
now.
Have a biscuit.
Here is the
biscuit. That's
where you brought the biscuit
for
me.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
You.
Fantastic. Henry, stay in the studio. We'll have a little chat later, and hopefully somebody will contact you.
Hopefully.
We really
have to. They're going to contact me.
So, Daraba, we really have to wrap this segment up. It's time now to hear from our reporter in Yiddish, Alex Dafna.
Oi.
Here we go.
Sosnia.